This seance was recorded on the 10th of August 1961, medium Leslie Flint. The sitters were George, Lynn, Joan, Monty and Margaret.
Hello, my darling.
Well, look who's here.
Yes.
Monty and George.
Yes.
How did you manage that in the morning?
I don't know, I've just got a couple of hours off, that's all.
George,
I spent about half of it coming here.
Well, what time are you supposed to be back?
Half past one.
You won't get back until at least 2 o'clock.
That's a good thing.
Oh, forget it.
Oh, he's here anyway, Mick.
How are you, Mick?
I'm fine, but it's real smashing to see you and Mont.
Yes, Mont's on holiday, of course.
Oh.
That's why the rain's been able to
rain. Is this one of your days out then, Mont?
Yes, it is.
What a place to come to for days on the cabin. Are you going to watch the train?
Oh, definitely. Oh, Mick, how lovely to hear you again.
And how are you, Lynetta?
Oh, thank you, dear. I'm fine. They've adopted that name in Castellaneta, you know. You call me that first.
Lynetta. Lynetta of Castellaneta.
Yes, right. Oh, dear. Oh, it was wonderful, Mick. What a wonderful time.
Well, I knew you were.
Yes, we left our heart out there, Mickey.
Well, that's not much good, is it?
No, it's a long way, you know.
No, I wouldn't say you left your heart.
Oh, yes, we did.
No, you left some part of yourself there.
Oh, yes. A big part.
George, well, couldn't you get a job out there, George?
Oh,
oh
no, I shouldn't want to go.
Well, where do you want me to go around selling car bowling or eggs?
No, but where there's a will, there's a way.
I know there's a way, there's a will.
I shouldn't want to go there.
You'd never stand the heat.
No, no, I wouldn't. Not in August from that time.
George would.
Yes, he's got it amazing.
Next time, Monty and Margaret will go, and Mum and Joan.
Next time, did you say?
Yes.
Oh, all right, well.
I'm telling you.
All right, I've.
The next time, they will go as well.
Well,
Johnny
would.
You don't need a coupon.
You don't know a matter of Kensington's coupons, either.
Kensington's coupons. Why Kensington's?
You think there's another Red Indian rising, wouldn't you?
That's one way of putting it.
How are they doing? They don't hear much from you.
But from me personally, you mean? You mean me personally?
Your side.
Well, just because you don't hear, don't mean to say that we're not there.
Oh,
is it?
Oh no.
You know, they say no news is good news.
Yes, I always say that, Mick, manifest in many ways. But
and after all, they are working very hard for your benefit and for the good of yourself and the work. And often when there's a big lull, that's when most is happening and the results appear later.
Yeah. Not the first time I've heard that, Mickey, but maybe it just doesn't seem in.
Oh, well, it does.
You're not so impatient.
Oh, no.
You're not so impatient.
Not quite.
Well, I think you've been much more smooth in your circle. You know, I don't think there's been the sort of irritation in the past.
Yeah.
I think you're more resigned to nothing.
We sleep better,
maybe. Yes, I sleep better. Oh, and actually, it hasn't been nothing recently, has it? It hasn't been nothing recently. We've had some wonderful addresses.
Yes, I know, but you know.
Yes, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. I suppose we're too anxious, really, for the voices. And you, you think, well, surely after this time, it's only one word, you know.
Well, I can tell you the one word. Patience.
Just sometimes I wonder, do you think it ever will? And I've got to admit, I do think that sometimes. Which is very best.
Well, I hope when that one word does come, be spoken, we don't walk out, trip over our beards.
That's not for you.
Trip over your beard.
We're too old.
Trip over your beard.
What do you like, do you know? Now it's time, Mickey, I know it's the same thing. But,
it's time's a problem, isn't it?
Then you pick up the paper and you read about someone who got down at voice in about 18 months or something. You know, you could tear the paper up.
people like that, you can often take with a grain of salt.
Mm. Possibly.
Mm. Yes. I presume you have a whole list of questions.
No, we've got two more Chippen's books. I've written them. You've been
peeking over her shoulder, maybe.
Question A. Question B. With the possibility of an answer to question D.
Oh, no, Danny, we're talking about the holiday, and I said, oh, I wanted to ask that. You know, it's so annoying when you come out. That was only if this was the final sitting. I didn't think about it. We've got two more books.
There's no such thing as a final sitting.
No, it's almost, isn't it? I mean, 6 months nearly.
Well, how long am I going to live then, Mickey? No such thing as a final sitting.
Perhaps I should be functioning, or Monty, or somebody. You never know. Blessing, I'll give you one. I'll give you a 6 minute
letter. By that time, I shan't need one.
Oh.
I should be on the other side of the cell. But when I'm on the other side.
No, I'm thinking me. No, I'm not talking about you. But that's the wrong attitude as well.
Come in.
Not a
manifestation. Might have been an arrow,
don't you? Robin Hood's coming. Douglas Fairbanks is out there rehearsing for his next production in the astral plane.
Well, it could be the knife throwing in some of the sheep.
Don't be knives. Ah, yeah, yeah.
That's an old before the storm.
Fresh, the atmosphere is better, and the medium too is not tired.
No.
Which means that in consequence the conditions are more conducive for the results. Well, I presume you have a tremendous number of questions. First, I think that we can say that Astor Veneta was very successful.
Yes.
I think that we have been able to fulfill all our promises in that direction. I do not think we left very much undone.
No, it is wonderful, it really wonderful.
It is the beginning, as I have told you before, it is the beginning of many developments. This is the beginning of changes. Changes not only for yourselves, but changes for many people in Castellaneta itself. Even the impregnable rock. I don't know who the impregnable rock is. No, perhaps you don't know.
No.
Luglisci.
Luglisci. Ah.
You think that because he is a Catholic and an ardent one,
yeah,
and a religious man,
yeah,
that he is invincible in regard to this truth.
No.
Nothing is further from the truth.
He is very, very interested,
but a little afraid, yeah, but at the same time very open in regard to this. In fact, it is because of his deep religious convictions that he has in mind that is not so close as you think.
Ah.
Anything to do with the spirit interests him, and he does not even know himself why it is that he has been the driving force in regard to the memorial, in regard to myself,
right,
and the interest that he shows in regard to myself.
He doesn't understand it, but he
will find out that it is not only me as a person, but other people are involved from this side of life who see in this work that can be done there something that is good in every respect and something which is in itself dynamic inasmuch that it will revolutionize, probably not yet, but in time, not only the small town of Castellaneta, but possibly even Italy itself. Here and there, disciples who come will learn and they will take the message to other places, and there will be different groups formed, and from these groups will spring other souls who will go further afield. You do not know that behind all this is something much deeper, much more important than anything perhaps you have ever realized. He is, the Great Sea is, but one of many that we are using. The memorial will attract many people.
Yes.
From the point of view of memorial to myself, I do not consider it is important. It is not me, it is what may be done through the agency of my name and my work. I am merely the figurehead.
Yes.
I in myself do not consider myself important. What I do consider is that in some way my name will attract people who will visit the place and in consequence also assist in this work which we have at heart. They will not even understand it at first. They will not even understand the reason, the motive, and why they are doing this or doing that. But eventually they will begin to learn. And from them others will learn. I see this not as a memorial in the sense that Lakrishi sees it, or even other people see it. I see it as far-reaching effect in the years to come, when people shall begin to have more open minds, and they shall be more conscious of the power of the spirit that directs them. They will understand more because they will know more, and in consequence they will do more, and in consequence eventually this truth will become a universal truth. It may take many, many years, which of course it must. You are beginning a great work. How great you cannot visualize and cannot comprehend, but it is not mere chance that you come to me, that you, as it were, receive instruction from me. It is just that it is that I have to choose the instruments that are sent to me, the instruments that are brought to me. You are instruments, each one. You do not know your full value. You may feel that you have little value. At the moment you cannot visualize what part you can really play in this. You say we lack this, we lack that, we have no material assets which would help us to develop this work in the way in which we would like to develop it, or even to assist in the work in Castellaneta. In other words, you feel that you have so little to give.
Yeah.
But what is important to us is not the amount of money that you may have, or the amount of position that you may have, or influence that you have in a material sense. We are talking about spiritual things. It is true that even to achieve certain spiritual things, you must have sometimes financial wealth or financial backing, and you must have perhaps position in the world to have influence on people who otherwise would not be influenced. But the ways of the spirit have always been that it is the most humble that do the greatest spiritual work, not those in high places or in position where it seems that they can do more. We are concerned only with spiritual truth. We are concerned only with the welfare of humanity, and we know that it has always been the poor that have done most in a spiritual sense, not those who have great position of wealth. I am not concerned with those in high places from the point of view of hoping to be able to use them. I know that it is impossible to even get near them, because their materialistic order is such that it is almost impregnable. But it is to those who have nothing, or appear as the word sees it, to have nothing, that are most susceptible to the truth. They are the ones who are most susceptible to the power of the spirit. They are the ones that we can reach and influence, and they in time have an effect upon others. And gradually we shall break down the barriers that lie between our world and yours. Our influence will be felt. Already it is felt. And where do we make it felt most? In a small place, unheard of place, in Italy. I want you to realize this. When I was on Earth, people used to say to me, well, what part of Italy were you born? Where did you come from? And I tell them, and to them I might have said I'd come from the moon. They didn't know. They'd never heard of such a place. No. To them it didn't exist. It must have been somewhere so remote. But nevertheless, I come from Castellaneta, which means nothing to the majority of people. And so I say to you, from a little town, a little place, insignificant on the map of Italy, will come great truth, and it will spread, and great work will be done there. You are beginning, you are doing the spade work, you are digging, and you may say to yourselves, yes, we are digging, but we don't see no hole. It is as if we are working and getting nowhere, and we are not getting any satisfaction, in a sense, because we feel over time we are digging against rock. But I say to you, the time will come when the scratching of the surface will have finished, and you'll find that your spades will go further into the ground, and it will not be the effort that it has been. The hard work is nearly over, and you will see what I mean in the coming months, and particularly in the year that is to come. You will see how far we have travelled, further than perhaps you realise or even anticipate. I am saying to you that you will return to Castelletto next year, and it is most possible, and I hope probable, and I certainly should do all in my power to make it possible, that Monty, John, and Marguerite shall go also.
Wonderful.
Well, one consolation about the very movie, and that is if you start digging a hole, you start at the top, don't you? I mean, the majority of jobs you do, you have to start at the bottom and work up. But this is one you start at the top and work down.
Oh, sure. The only thing I feel we're not doing anything with is in the circle when the voices don't come, and I think, well, how are
I don't
going
want
to do?
You to depend too much on the voices.
You
when
don't.
What I want you to understand is that we have always promised you that we would, in time, succeed in obtaining, making possible, the voices that you determine.
Yes.
But you must realize that this is something which cannot be done quickly, as you well know. But in the meantime, in the interim, we are doing other things.
Yes.
But eventually, I am confident the voices will come. But you must remember and realize that it is not necessarily the voices alone that are most important. The methods that we use or apply are in themselves perhaps not so important as the subject matter and that which we are able to give you. After all, it is the thought and the power of the spirit that matters, not the method that is employed. After all, you do not judge a message, whether it is by the telephone or by the telegram or by the letter. You do not judge the contents by the method that is used. You judge the contents by what the contents contain. In other words, what is important is the message itself, not the method which is used to bring it to you. It is nice, much nicer, to be able to talk on the telephone because you feel that you have a much more direct contact,
yes,
which you have.
Yes.
But you do not despise the letter,
no,
which might also, in many ways, perhaps be better, because after all, a person who sits and writes a letter that is full of themselves, full of their innermost thoughts, often it is done in a composed state when they are more able to concentrate and more able perhaps to put down the things that they feel than perhaps a limited telephone call. You see, we must remember and realize it is what is said, what is conveyed. How it is conveyed is not perhaps as important as what it contains, the message. I know that it is natural that you should want, and we want it too, the voice, because it is more direct.
Yes.
But also, you must remember that it is not always possible, even in the voice, to convey all that we wish to convey. In fact, sometimes it is more difficult to convey in a limited space of time with the concentration that has to be done to even produce the voice. That in itself is an effort. And in trying to produce the voice, sometimes it is difficult to put the content of our thought and our desire into it as much as we could do, perhaps in some other shape or form. I would ask you not to, because of the desire to get the voice, not to despise or reject that which may be given to you in another way. Because believe me, the most wonderful contact of all between people is that contact of the mind and of the soul.
Yes.
Yes.
And you can feel things, and
yes,
you can receive inspiration,
yes,
you can receive mental impression and guidance,
yes,
which, when it is on the right level, is even more important than what you term the voice, which has to be brought down to some extent to a more material level to become practical so that you can even hear. In other words, if we come and speak to you, the transmission of our thought has to be brought down to material level for it even to be grasped or to be heard or to be understood, whereas a mental and spiritual level and a link in that direction can be even better. I do not want you to think because of this we are making an excuse that we are not going to continue trying to get the voice. This we shall do, but what is important is the contents and the context of that which we are able to give you. And I can assure you there is no greater link between human beings than that of the mind and of the spirit. It does not need words. It is something that you feel emotionally deep within you. It is the way in which we contact on this side. We do not have to voice words to make ourselves understood. Here people know us as we really are. They are able to read our thoughts and our innermost emotions. Here we can clearly define many things which in words could not be defined because there are no words to define them. It is as you feel often, at times, things so intensely. But if you were asked to put them to paper, or you were asked to voice them, you could not do it because it would be impossible. These things that human beings feel so intensely, one person between another, is so tremendous that it has no way of transferring itself into words or into speech. I say to you that our work is of the mind and of the spirit. It is something that encompasses all humanity, where individuals are important and yet not so important as the whole. We are concerned with the whole mass of humanity, and the only way in which we can hope to achieve anything that is worthwhile and good is first we must learn to undo many things that have become natural in our makeup and in our action. We are first of all to learn to forget ourselves, to realize that we ourselves as people, in a sense, are not important. If we want to serve humanity, the first step is to forget self in service. We are so anxious, often in our own development, to forget that we have a responsibility and a duty to others. So many people, it is natural, it is human, you will say, especially when on earth, and this I understand, that why man must think of himself. But I can assure you, the only true way to progress is to forget yourself. And once you are less conscious of yourself and your own desires, once you begin to forget yourself and how important you are to you, when you realize that you are important to others, much more important than you are to yourself, once you begin to forget yourself and consider others more than yourself, then you are really on the way to eternal progression. And then you are able to become, as it were, truly instruments. This constant that we see in your world, personal approach, where the I is more important, this is not the way of spiritual progression. All the great teachers, all the great saints found that until they had forgotten themselves, they could not hope to find themselves. It is in a sense, if you like, a mystery, and yet it is so simple. All the great souls found that the only way to progress, the only way to understand and appreciate God and his purpose and his will and his laws, was to forget oneself. And in some strange, almost miraculous way, you began, as it were, to begin to find yourself. The only way to find yourself is to forget yourself. And when you do that, you begin to live truly spiritually, and you become conscious and aware of the power and the love that is all around you, helping you on this path of eternal progression. I know one of the most important things, and I discovered that very quickly when I come here, that I had to forget myself. I had to forget what I had been or what I may have accomplished. I had to see things in their true perspective. I had to place myself in the true light, as it were, so that the illumination would so illuminate myself that I could see all my defects, all my faults. I could have to see for the first time what I was really like, not what I thought I was like, or what other people told me I was like, or what I assumed I was like. I had to find truth, and the only way to find truth is to be able to illuminate yourself to such an extent that you can see all the worst of self, all the bad, and eradicate it, and begin then to reconstruct. I see so clearly my life and its purpose, and what it achieved, and what I failed in. But above all, I could see there was only one thing that made me worthwhile, and that was love. Love of untold numbers of people who had never seen me in the flesh. And it was this love that made possible my redemption. And it was this love that made possible my path. And it was this love that gives me the incentive to return, to help, to guide, to uplift, to inspire those of you who will listen, those of you who will work, and those of you who, through forgetting self, will find truly yourselves in service to God and doing his will. I know that it is not me that matters. It is what I may become that matters, through the love that I find in the hearts of people like yourselves who are prepared to do service and in consequence not only develop yourselves but also help me. Because in a strange sort of way, though you may say that I come and give my time and my love to you because through you I hope to achieve things for others, in a strange way it comes back to me. For love is like that. You give it out and it comes back to you. Sometimes you do not always recognize it, on earth particularly. You do not recognize love when it is given to you. Sometimes you accept it as if it is your right. Sometimes it is as if one were one accepts it as if the people owe it to you. I see so many things as I look back on my life. I see so many mistakes. I do not say that I was a vain man, but at the same time, anyone in the same position as myself who was rocketed from obscurity to fame to such an extent as I had, it would have been very difficult not to have acted often in the way in which I did. But at the same time, I realize that physical attributes are only good when they spring from the mind and they spring from the spirit. If they merely spring from physical conditions, which are but surface things, then there's little good in them and little value. If I have left behind, in your words, something that gives people joy, gives them happiness, I am grateful that I have contributed to other people's happiness. But if I have not contributed to them in a spiritual sense, made them desire to seek and to find and to know God and his purpose for them, then I have not achieved so very much. Here and there are people like yourselves who are seeking, who are sincere, who are anxious to find truth, and having found it, are desirous that others should find it through you. That you desire to become agents of God's will is the greatest joy to me. And if in my work, such as it was, I have achieved something in that direction, then it was not worthless. I see, as I look back, through time itself, not in one incarnation, but in many incarnations, I see the struggling of the spirit to become free. I see how, through adversity and sorrow and complexity of life, the spirit emerges gradually but surely towards a higher realization of its possibilities in time itself. I see my incarnations for what they are, episodes, chapters, in a long book, as it were, of life, with no ending chapter. I see that every condition and every period of my time was important, that in each one I had lessons to learn, and others had lessons to learn also who are linked with me and I with them. As it were, we were giving and taking, taking and giving. From each other we were assimilating certain things which were essential to our unfoldment until such time as we reached a point in our development that we were able in consequence to discard forever the flesh. And I know that I shall not return to our in flesh again, because in my last incarnation, strange as it may seem, in spite of the fact that it was so unreal, and in a sense this is true, I sometimes, as I look back in my last incarnation, I realize that it was perhaps the most unreal of all my incarnations, for I was, as it were, being used without realizing it by other forces outside of myself to give something of which I did not fully comprehend. In other words, I was trying to express love, a universal love, not a narrow, confined, earthly thing, but a universal love that would in some way touch the hearts of peoples, irrespective of their nationality or their particular upbringing or outlook. Somehow this love, which is universal, was given through the agency of what you term film. As I've said before, untold numbers of people felt something but did not fully recognize it. They were inclined in many instances to narrow it down to a physical thing, but it was not that. But there are here and there souls who still remember and realize that it was not just what it seemed. It was a universal spirit of love manifesting in a strange way in a modern world under strange agency. And in consequence, there are those who remain so sincere in their desire to put into practice something which they felt, of which I was only the vehicle of this expression. And that's what we must all remember. We are all vehicles in some shape or form of God's will and purpose, and we are here to do his will and to express his purpose among his children. And above all, we must remember that we must be an example. If we are poor examples, we do discredit to that which we know is as truth, and we do discredit to those who inspire us, as I am inspired and guided by souls far removed from my own sphere, who are far removed from me in knowledge and experience. I am but the agency of others, as you are the agency of myself and others. In other words, we must utilize that knowledge and that truth which we have found, and we must truly be lowly in spirit, inasmuch that we must realize that only in humbleness can we hope to achieve greatness. And when we achieve greatness, we are conscious that that which we have achieved, though we have made some effort towards it, has only been done through the love of others who have supported us and guided us through difficult times. I want you to know that everything that I do in love, and that I am but the agent of others more highly removed than myself, who come in love to serve through me, you, and others through you, and through them, others. We are, as it were, bound together by chains that cannot be broken, for each link is a sure and secure one, and each link is strong in love and in faith. And we bind ourselves together through time and space by this chain, which in itself encircles not only your world, but all worlds. Because in time itself and in space, there are no limits, no confines to the power of love. I express love in a humble way when on earth. Now I express love in a more noble sense, and in a greater sense, but it is not fully my love. It is the love of untold souls, numbers of souls, in the realms of spirit, who through many, many eons of time, through many experiences of life, have found through suffering and joy eternal love and what that means. And they give freely to me as I give to you, as you must give to others, and in consequence you must learn more and more how necessary it is to forget self in service. And if, as it oftentimes does, seem hard, remember the harder the task, the harder the path, the greater for you the happiness that shall yet come, because you will see how in service true happiness is found. Too many people in your world are running here and there, seeking, for they know not what. And when they find it and they grasp it in their hand, it disappears as if it had no meaning for them and did not even have life itself. The truth is life. Love is life. And it is truth and love going hand in hand that make us strong and make us powerful in God's will and in His sight. Do not be as others are, but at the same time do not condemn them, but try if you can to work with them and help them to find that inner peace, that inner realization, as all the great souls and teachers of past ages have found, through humbleness and into service, and through service into greater love. These things which are eternal truths, these things that you consider important on earth are least important. These things which surely, as you well know, must pass from you and leave you bereft and only holding on to that which is of the spirit. How much of the spirit do you have within you? It is this that is important. Not what you may have possessed when on earth. Not what you may have amassed. Not what you may have earned. Not what you may have had here or there, or what it achieved in the material sense. It is what you are, what you have become through love and through service. Forgetting yourselves, you will find yourselves. And as you find yourselves, you'll be more and more anxious to serve God and do His will. And you will have a peace, as Christ said, that the world cannot give. For it will be the peace of the eternal spirit. It will be the peace of the spheres. It will be the joy that comes from knowing that you have done God's will, and nothing that you have achieved can be taken from you, for it is yours forever. And in that you will find God Himself. Don't be distressed. if at times things do not go as you want them to go. Do not be disturbed if you seem sometimes to lack certain things that you think for the time being may seem essential to you. They are not essential. If they were so essential, they would be given to you. You are given the things that are vital, but they are not necessarily things of the earth. I know the value of things of the earth. I had most things that the earth could provide, but they did not bring me happiness. What I required, or what I thought I needed most, was only lent to me for a short time and was then taken away. I know what matters most is love. And it was love that carried me from your world to this. And it was love itself that rescued me from myself. The love of countless peoples whom I had never met, but whose sincerity of love helped me so considerably. It is this love that draws me back to help you and others through you. And as I've said so repeatedly and often to you, there's only one thing that matters in life, whether it is your life or ours. It is love, true love, love that will sacrifice itself, if necessary, in every sense. When you forget yourself, you sincerely, genuinely begin to know what love means. It is not love of self that matters. It is, in a sense, not even love of things which seem important, but it is love of love, loving for love's sake, making possible through love eternal joy and happiness of others. We are instruments of love. Let us be truly worthy instruments of God's will and purpose and love, and then we shall begin to live truly, not as we have lived in the past. We have much to learn, all of us, but we have much to gain spiritually. Don't despair. Don't doubt. Don't fear. Have faith. And you shall see how out of the darkness you are led into eternal light. I would like very much to say many, many things. I know there are a number of questions that you particularly perhaps wanted me to comment upon. But there will be other times, more times than you know, when we shall gather together and we shall speak one to the other, and we shall find in the opportunities that present themselves many things that will give us each one happiness in our meeting. I leave you in a sense and yet remain with you. You do not see, you do not hear. You may not even feel the presence of spirit, but it is with you. And when you are most in need, I am conscious of your thoughts. It is in thought that we remain one, and above all in love that we are one, though we are separate individuals, though we have separate bodies, and we think perhaps in some things differently. In love, we are one spirit, and it is this spirit that will save humanity. Be of good heart, for all is well. My blessing to each one of you. Goodbye.
Goodbye, God bless you.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. God bless you.